on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back. It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast as we fire up another episode and introduce you to another coach. Not quite yet the women's basketball coach, although obviously, you know by now, South Dakota has hired Kiri Amy as the next head women's basketball coach. She comes to USD from the University of Idaho, where she spent the last year. Prior to that, had a very successful run at Nebraska Kearney, and before that at Hastings College as well. So she has had a very successful career, and she comes to South Dakota. And what will she do at South Dakota? I mean, obviously, time will tell. And so we'll see how the team changes over the next few weeks or however that works, and look into the first year of Kiri Amy as a head coach. 20 years of college coaching experience. 12 of those have won 20 or more games. So, you know, obviously has won a lot, but a lot of that was at the NAIA or Division II level, and now she gets her chance at Division I and had that chance for a year, went 15-16 at Idaho, 8-10 in conference play, but she was really working on changing the makeup of that team. So Idaho is going to be very, very different in year two under Kiri Amy. So how does that click at the University of South Dakota? We'll find out here very, very soon. So excited to see that introductory press conference coming up on Tuesday with Kiri Amy. She is a native of Edgar, Nebraska, went to Sandy Creek High School, where they won a lot of basketball games during her time playing. And then obviously she had really, really great career in college and playing, and then got into the coaching ranks and has really, done a lot of good things. So we'll see how things go, but excited to see how her press conference goes on Tuesday, 11 a.m. in the Dome Club of the Sanford Coyote Sports Center on the USD campus. That is open to the public. So if you're in the area, come on out, join it, and show the support of Kiri Amy in her first ever, first real public appearance, I guess, as the head women's basketball coach at the University of South Dakota. So excited to see what she can take the program and build on it from there, and we'll see. You know, obviously, we'll see what her staff looks like. We'll see what her team looks like, all that good stuff. But exciting times at USD, there's no doubt about it. Busy weekend this weekend. Last chance for a couple of teams. The USD tune-up is on Friday, where the track and field teams will have, one more chance. Really, it's kind of your you're trying to make some times here at this point of the season and put yourself in a good position as you get ready for the Summit League Championships and then trying to get on to regionals and all that good stuff. So we'll see how the tune-up goes. And then softball is hosting North Dakota State over the weekend, and it's the final weekend of the regular season. And South Dakota and North Dakota State, I don't know if you've looked at the Summit League standings, but they are at the bottom. Six of the seven teams get into the Summit League softball tournament. That means, depending on what happens elsewhere, but really the team that wins this series is in, and the team that loses this series could very well be out of the postseason of the Summit League tournament. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully softball can have themselves a good weekend. Both South Dakota and North Dakota State enter the final week with four wins in conference play. So we'll see how it all plays out. And, hopefully softball can win a couple and get themselves into the Summit League softball tournament, which gets underway. I think it's on Wednesday of next week, so we'll have to look into some of that. A lot of good stuff going on, certainly, at the University of South Dakota, and we continue to add assistant coaches. And just a few weeks ago, not that long ago, football added a defensive line coach. Rob Snyder left. He's been hired as a coach at Nichols in Louisiana, I believe. That's where he came from. Gave us a good year and really liked Rob. I think he just had to go back for family reasons and some of that. But Nathan Nelson, the new defensive line coach at University of South Dakota, he comes to us after a year at Arkansas Monticello and played at the University of Iowa. And this week, I had a chance to catch up with Nathan Nelson to talk to him about his time at South Dakota so far. He was had right before spring football. We talked about his coaching career and all of that. So great chat this week with Nathan Nelson. Nathan, I know you're still getting kind of used to the University of South Dakota, but I'm sure getting settled in. First of all, welcome to USD. It's awesome to have you on staff and part of this football group. What has the adjustment been like for you the last few weeks? It was kind of hit the ground running to a T.
Yep, it's been a good adjustment period. I think joining the staff the Thursday before spring ball started kind of took me by whirlwind, kind of starting and in stride. Had to hit the ground running, meet the guys, meet the staff. Just to start about the transition period, obviously starting from the top, Coach Nielsen made it really, really easy, along with Coach Johansson down to the top. I think those guys do a tremendous job of setting that standard and how stuff's supposed to look. So it made it really easy for me to go ahead and jump in and continue that standard that they set. But settling in's been awesome, getting to know the young men that we have working with us every day and around everyone that helps out this operation. It's been good so far.
What was the process like for you? You end up, I'm sure, either getting interest somehow in this job and deciding to come to Vermilion, and then it's hit the ground going right into spring ball. What was that adjustment process like?
Coming from a school down in Arkansas, it was a little bit of adjustment, just a little bit of the weather, but I'm a Midwest guy, so it made that process really easy, and it helps out. I had prior connections to Coach Taylor and Coach Ference, and a little bit of connection to Coach Hodge prior to joining staff. So hitting the ground running made it pretty easy, knowing what those guys are about and just the process that they go through with their day-to-day, and it made it pretty easy for me to jump in and join a bunch of like-minded guys in the room and at this place.
I was looking kind of at your, where you've been, and you do a little bit of coaching at Iowa, then you go to Bemidji, then it's back to Iowa, then it's down to Arkansas, Monticello, now it's at the University of South Dakota. Talk about the whirlwind of getting your footing in coaching.
Yeah, it's definitely a little different, especially going into just the mindset of you might have to change locations a few times, and I went into it full wind ahead and just kind of bought into that process and just really being open to learn wherever you're at, whether it's at Iowa, whatever level you're at. Going up to Bemidji was an awesome experience, and learning from all the guys up there and then getting a chance to go back to Iowa and work with a different position group for just the short chance that I did helped me grow and see football as in a bigger scope. And then getting a chance to go down to Arkansas, Monticello and have some success down there with those guys, and really just everything that I've been about is trying to get a good learning experience so I could get myself ready for an opportunity like South Dakota. And as soon as this kind of came open, it was kind of a no-brainer, just because of the type of mindset that the kids have, the coaches have, and just kind of what they've been able to put the product on the football field. It's kind of the enticing part about that and why I'm so fired up to be here.
Deep ties to the University of Iowa. Obviously, we talked about being there a couple of times, but you played there as well. Your brother played there. Your dad played there. Iowa, through and through.
Yep, Iowa through and through. Was born, or not actually born in the state of Iowa, but grew up in the state of Iowa. My brother played there. My dad played there. My mom went to school there. My whole immediate family has University of Iowa degrees, so kind of a special place in my heart, just being an alma mater and being able to get that first opportunity to, one, not only play collegiate football, but also get my first job and foot in the door in college football in that aspect.
Was there ever any other option for you than the University of Iowa with all that connection?
Yeah, I mean, definitely got to make my own decision, and that was kind of the big push by everyone in the family, make your own decision, but made it pretty easy when you have all that familiarity and you got people in your family so close that have so close ties to it.
What do you think that meant? And maybe you've talked to your dad about that, but obviously someone who played at Iowa, met your mom there, or at least they knew each other there, yeah, and whatever. And then to see, you know, you and your brother both play and wear the black and yellow of the University of Iowa. What do you think that meant to him?
I think it meant a lot. I think he more appreciated the fact that he got to see both of his sons do something they loved at a place they loved, and just really being a football family first and foremost before the University of Iowa. I mean, now my brother's going into year six in Tampa Bay, so he's still employed by football, and obviously I'm still employed by football doing this, just in a little different aspects, but the game of football has meant a lot to our family, and just he was excited to see both of his kids kind of chase his dream and chase his dream, our dream, kind of everyone around just with that.
How cool is it to see your brother have that kind of success? You mentioned year six, and obviously he's kind of had a home there in Tampa.
Yeah, it's really cool just to see him pursue that and be do it at such a high level. He had the chance to be on the Super Bowl team, so got to be around some really, really high-level athletes, and he's a high-level athlete himself too. And selfishly, it's really cool for me because I get to get my foot in the door in that and kind of bounce some ideas off of him or whoever he's kind of met and introduced me to. So it's really cool to see someone that you care about like that have that kind of success and do his thing down there in Tampa.
Yeah, really, really cool to see. And another year coming up for him. How much are you able to follow that? Because obviously you're tied into college football, and I don't know if people know how a lot of these processes go, but you play games on Saturday. Most of these college football staffs don't get Sunday as a day off. It's quickly back to work. So how much are you able to kind of track and keep track of what he's doing while having your own success?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult just with the timing of being in a season. And obviously, if you're doing things right, you're going to miss the whole NFL season. And fortunately enough for me, I've really been able to catch up and do all those things in the postseason. They've been fortunate enough to make it to the playoffs. And if they get deep enough into it, hopefully we're still playing and you're still involved in the football game, that part of it. But as soon as he kind of gets on the road with the playoffs, those are kind of the times that I got to catch up. And kind of follow along and go to a few games down there. But other than that, it's pretty tough on the Sundays. I just kind of follow through Twitter updates, through family text group chats, and that's about the most I can get out of it on some certain Sundays, depending on the game time.
Was coaching always something that you kind of aspired or maybe considered in your life, or when did you think that this part of the business could be your future?
Yeah, no. To be honest, coaching wasn't really in my mindset going into college and trying to do the best I could at playing. My playing career obviously didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, dealt with some injuries, and fortunately enough for me, I had a coach, Kelvin Bell, who believed in me as a player, and then kind of we had some tough conversations, and I told him I wanted to get into it on the different side of it. So he kind of helped open that door for me first and foremost to be able to do that. So really, it kind of changed when things went south with the playing career, and it's been fortunate to have that step and have that guy in my corner who helped me get into it, and really is still just a guy I can lean on in this business to help me out, and really I'm fortunate for that. But that's really the turning point, and that guy is kind of the guy that helped me really with everyone on staff there, from Coach Ferentz to Coach Parker to Coach Wallace. I really had a big impact on me getting into coaching and seeing the way they go about business and helping me get into that different avenue of coaching.
I don't think we hear enough about the number of student athletes that go through enough injuries that their body just says, look, this isn't for you. And they have to make those tough decisions, right? And some of them end up in coaching and some of them don't. And as someone who kind of experienced a sense of that, how did that change your perspective of now how you can relate to some of these student athletes and what they may be going through?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand how difficult it is to go through injuries and really what it takes as a mindset to get back. And speaking for myself, did I do everything I could to get back? And I kind of translate that hopefully to the players and just let them know that you can't take anything for granted, because some people are more fortunate than others in that aspect. But really, I think just stemming from the mindset of helping people achieve highly, whether they're on the field or had a road bump, and just trying to help them take it on as a big picture to try to kind of see what it's about and what they're really trying to accomplish and what's the main reason why they came to campus, and they can't lose sight of that just because they hit a few road bumps, because it's college football. It's not always going to be perfect. So
you're young in your coaching career, and it wasn't that long ago, really, that you were playing. Now, as you kind of gone through the coaching, what is something that you've learned in coaching that maybe you wish you would have appreciated more as a player, that you look back and you're like, geez, come on, man. You know what I mean? Because you obviously have a different view of it now, a different perspective. But what's something you wish you would have appreciated during your playing time?
I think really just the intricacies, just the minor details in the game, really through film study and just the little different things that you can pick up on that us coaches up here in this hallway really, really do appreciate, with the tendencies and all that stuff, and just seeing how much of a quote-unquote chess match it truly is. It's not just out there doing stuff for no rhyme and reason and just having a bigger grasp on a whole understanding of football and really what are the whys to what you're doing and how is it going to make you be successful and what are those things helping you do instead of kind of going out there with only one eye open. Really just open up your eyes, and hopefully us as coaches are doing that for these student athletes. And I think that's the biggest thing that kind of when you mature in the game of football is you take the football in as a whole and no longer think about just my single position, kind of think about the whole grand scheme of things and everything that you go through on the field.
You've worked with a couple of different position groups, but obviously you've spent, I believe, the most time with defensive line. What have you learned as a coach now about defensive line that you really want to relay to guys going forward?
Yeah, I think especially just the position, it's you're definitely going to have to take those small details and finally tune them every day. A big thing that I talk about is just being brilliant at the basics, right? It's not really much that's going to change with the defensive line and what we're trying to ask you to do. You just have to do those little things and really pay attention to detail and finally tune the skills that you have to sharpen that for when it comes to game day. But really it starts in practice, and I think just emphasizing that those daily disciplines, they really add up, and getting to that muscle memory down with training our eyes, doing all the right stuff with our feet, and really emphasizing what we do with our hands as well and how we can control blocks, how we can help the defense and be productive players stemming from the defensive line.
I always think one of the things about the defensive line, you know, people look at them as the first guys through, and I always think the defensive line, especially the interior guys, they better be some of the most unselfish guys on a football team, because more times than not, their job is to chew up some blockers.
Absolutely, and I try to portray the misconception on that is just trying to get, you know, the cliche is 1 of 11. For us as defensive line, we're really trying to get more than that. If we're not to 1 of 11, we're trying to get to 1.1 out of 11, so we can free up some of the guys behind us, but not taking away our ability to strain and fight through blocks and also help ourselves make some plays too up front. So we're also the most important part, first part of defense, but also trying to make those plays and make it easy on everyone else behind us and really set the tone for the defense from the middle, because if you can't stop the run, it's going to be a long day. So we got to emphasize it and make sure that those guys know how important of a role it is and take it with some pride.
As a young coach, obviously you played the position, you've been coaching it, so you do some trial and error and some of that stuff. What have you done to try to train yourself to be a better coach?
Just see it the way that they do and try to give them the most opportunities to learn it. Not everyone's going to learn the same, and I think trying to try different ways, right? Go out on a limb and maybe it might not work, but maybe it helps one kid learn a technique a certain way and just put them in as many simulated situations an individual where you can now translate it to a team segment and to the games. I think it's really, really important to just make sure that you're doing whatever you can, because really, as a football coach, you're really just a glorified teacher out there making sure that they understand what they're trying to do, and really don't be afraid to try things to put people in uncomfortable situations and see what comes of it, because I think the more that you can make these guys uncomfortable in practice, the more they can be comfortable when it comes to Saturdays.
You've been on campus for a few weeks. Obviously, you went through the entire spring ball session with this team. Look at the defensive line for the University of South Dakota. We lost some key guys from a year ago. What do you see out of this group right now?
I think there's a lot of guys stepping up. I think there's a lot of good things happening from all over the football field, offense, defense, special teams. Guys really just carving out roles and young guys getting chances and really just the core of the guys that are coming back are helping those other players that haven't stepped foot on the field and really uplifting them to help them become those next group of Yotes that all the fans know about.
As you look at this group, why can it be one of the groups that helps lead this football team back to where it was a year ago? And obviously the goal is always to go further, right? Yep. But to sustain that success.
I think really just kind of the guys that we got in the room that are there. I think especially talking to interior defensive line, you know, you got Blake Holden coming back who's a great football player, but I also think his leadership skills and helping the young guys in the room does a lot. Mo Newsom's coming back. Trying to keep him healthy, and he's going off a great spring where he's building confidence and going to step into that role of being a dominant player for us. And really, the other guys in the room, Chris Dixon, Will Dunn, Tate Lowhouse, all have done really, really good things, and OK as well, too. They've all done great things and really stepped up their game from top to bottom of the room and just creating a bunch of guys that can go out there and trust to win games on Saturdays.
Travis Johansson's been here for a while as defensive coordinator. Our fans have gotten to know him. What has been your experience with Coach Johansson here over the last few weeks?
My experience with him has been quite honestly really, really well. He's kind of set the standard, kind of like I talked before. There's a standard to defensive play when you come to the University of South Dakota. And it's our job. It's my job. It's really everyone on staff's job to uphold that standard that's set by him. And I think he does an awesome job of leading these guys and leading us as coaches to send those right messages to those players day in and day out and really uphold that standard of how we're going to play defense. And the most important is why we're going to do it this way and how it's going to help us set us apart from whoever it is. And just really putting everyone in this building in a place where they can have a chance to have success.
When our fans watch this football team on Saturdays or even a Thursday, I guess, coming up this year, and they walk away, they're going to have an identity for all of the different position groups, right? What do you want them to know or think about, or what do you hope that they think about when they leave a game after they watch this defensive line that's under the direction of Nathan Nelson?
I really hope that when you leave the field, you're going to see a bunch of guys that are flying around and running to the ball and really just tough and relentless. See a bunch of physical players out there that are sprinting around, flying to the ball, making tackles, doing the right thing, and just seeing really those little details of how they carry themselves on the field and the pride that they take with the role that they have and being a physical, tough-nosed football player out there and just being relentless.
I know a lot of people are excited to see how you work with the defensive line and fit in with this coaching staff. We're excited to have you, so thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy a little bit of a summer break, and then I know it'll be ready to hit the ground running in the fall. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
That is Nathan Nelson. He is the new defensive line coach at the University of South Dakota and obviously hit the ground running right away, spring ball. He gets hired, he gets to campus, and it's spring ball right away. So they're grinding right now. They're still going through the all their checks and balances to see what the team's going to look like next year and looking for some different pieces as they get themselves ready for a fall and trying to sustain that success from a year ago, right? Coming off a great season with as many wins as they've ever had at the Division I level, more wins at this level, and a trip to the quarterfinals of the FCS playoffs where you get to host. So pretty cool deal. Not a lot going on in Coyote Athletics this weekend. Obviously, we are wrapping up. We're in championship season. Graduation is here. But when you look at Coyote Athletics, the track and field team hosts the USD Tune-Up on Friday. And then also on Friday, softball hosts North Dakota State in a doubleheader. The Coyotes and NDSU will start at noon on Friday is the scheduled start time. Obviously, weather keeps changing, so keep an eye out for potential changes of that. And then they're scheduled to play a single game at 11 a.m. on Saturday as well. And then the Summit League Softball Championships get underway on Wednesday in Brookings. They host by way of winning the regular season title last year. And so they are the host for the softball tournament, and then the track and field will start on Thursday of next week and in St. Paul, Minnesota. So track and field outdoor championships, see if the Coyotes can get a couple of team titles up in St. Paul, Minnesota. But that's about everything going on right now. The men's golf team just wrapped up their Summit League championships, finished in fourth place. Shout out to Nick Lamott, heck of a effort by him, finished in a tie for third. So really cool to see him kind of start there at the top and just kind of hang out all tournament, 3 days, three rounds. It's tough to do that. It's a grind in golf, and he grinded out to a tie for third. So really cool to see Nick Lamott do that and help the men's golf team to a fourth place finish at the Summit League Golf Championships. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a great weekend, and as always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.